This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen for the next hour. Big show coming up today. We're going to talk a little NBA recap, some news in baseball. One big pitcher goes on the IL. Another big player refuses to play a new position. We'll cover that. Do a lot of play it or pass it. Two NBA games tonight. Brandon Kravitz is going to come on down and give his props for the hardwood tonight as well. And then we'll take a little look at the baseball side of things after that. Busy, busy night. Every team playing, of course, and all night games tonight too. So going to keep us, very busy for our DFS and betting slips as well. Nick Whalen, no surprise, Timberwolves beat the Warriors last night. Big scare with Anthony Edwards, was able to come back in the second half. Kind of worry about sometimes the day after when it comes to ankle injuries. So we'll watch that. What else did caught your eye from that game last night? Timberwolves 117-93 over the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, for a good like 15 minutes there, Jeff, given the timing of that injury, not really knowing if Anthony Edwards was going to come back after halftime, there was a world in which I started to think, man, are we going to get a Edwards-less Timberwolves versus a Curry-less Warriors with a Western Conference Finals berth on the line? Is that going to be our future for the next 2 weeks? But thankfully, Edwards was somehow able to shake off that injury. I mean, that looked bad. I mean, he was down on the court for a few minutes, looked like he couldn't put any weight on it. I did not expect him to come back into the game, and certainly at the time thought this could be, you know, something that impacts him throughout the series, but ended up coming back, looked pretty good. I thought didn't really appear to be hampered in the second half, did play just long enough, Jeff, to cash our over 12 and a half assists plus rebound. Got the final two of that right before he was pulled for the night, as this did devolve into a blowout. I thought on the Golden State side of things, this went almost exactly as we expected. The Warriors scored 93 points. Their team total in this game was 94 and a half. They had a 97.7 offensive rating, which without Steph Curry is actually better than they've been in the playoffs without Steph so far. But they gave up a 122.9 offensive rating to Minnesota. And that was the problem. You know, Golden State scored 15 points in the first quarter. We talked about it on the show yesterday. The Warriors could not afford to play from behind. Without Steph Curry, you just don't have the firepower to work your way back in a game like this. And you kind of felt it slipping away early on. You never really felt like the Warriors were capable of making that run. You know, in terms of other takeaways here, Jimmy Butler essentially went under on all of his props, just 17 points for him, finished under 7.5 rebounds. I thought Julius Randle had a really nice bounce back game for Minnesota. He was pretty awful, looked kind of out of it in game one, looked like he was winded. 24 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds for Randle, who really picked up the slack when it looked like Edwards maybe wasn't going to come back. And then the other thing on the Golden State side, you know, Steve Kerr had to dig deep. He was trying things. He was bringing in a bunch of guys off the bench. Jonathan Kuminga ended up being your leading scorer in 26 minutes off the bench last night for the Warriors.
Yeah, this was just kind of like a typical Steve Kerr just wash his hands of the game, sort of playing it out there. You know, he's one coach that is willing to do that and just move on down the road. We'll see what happens in game three. That's going to be the interesting one to me. You know, Draymond got the early tech. I was listening to that game on the radio, and it was the Minnesota feed, and the announcers were howling at the moon for Draymond to get a second tech and get ejected.
He should have been kicked out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely should have been. So that was one of the things that caught my ear. That was noteworthy there. It's just, and that's the thing is, when Draymond gets on the walk on the wild side, I mean, sometimes it works to unsettle the other team, but also it unsettles his own team. And I think that's what it really had that effect there. The other thing is, like, Jimmy Butler, I think, needed to be more selfish. I actually think that he needed to kind of take control of this game early on. I just don't think he did. And I understand. He's a team player. I get that. But they needed him to be the man in that game, and he wasn't.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. And, you know, again, Minnesota led by 14 at the end of the first. This did slip away from Golden State pretty quickly, but the one guy who's really capable of keeping you in a game like this, dragging you back when you're trailing by double digits, is Jimmy Butler. You know, I guess you could make a case for Buddy Hield if you want, who was actually okay again last night, 5 of 14 from the field, but did hit 4 3-pointers. Like, Butler, without Steph Curry, he's the only option. Like, he absolutely has to be selfish. He cannot end a game like this taking just 13 shots. He played 34 minutes. You know, he played into the fourth quarter. This wasn't a game where he was pulled after 25 minutes. I mean, he needs to either get to the line 7, 8, 9, 10 times, or he needs to be taking 15 to 20 shots. Like, that is really the only recipe, I think, right now for Golden State. you look ahead, Warriors are now 5-point underdogs for game three. That's in Golden State tomorrow night. Total is down at 200.5. So not a whole lot of optimism as far as that Golden State offense getting it going without Curry. You know, Minnesota finally did have a decent shooting game, 16 of 37 from beyond the arc. Obviously, that's a huge reversal from what we saw to start this series, what we saw to end the Lakers series, that 7 of 47 game from three. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Dante DiVincenzo, Naz Reid all came through, 10 combined threes for those guys. And look, when you look at the series odds now, Jeff, the Wolves are now minus 320 to win this series. And I think there maybe is a little bit of pressure on Minnesota to keep their foot on the gas here, try to win this series in five before Steph Curry maybe possibly comes back for game six. There is a 3-day break between games five and six. So if Curry is going to come back, you would think maybe that would be the time. Wolves in five right now, plus 205 at DraftKings.
Yeah, and that's the shortest odds of all the series scores too. So that, you know, the books expect them to kind of run the table here. We'll see what happens with that. Or maybe the betting, the overall bettors do too. So maybe that's the way to look at that there. All right. Any other takeaways? Any other? I think that total actually seems a little low at 200.5. Just, you know, even yesterday at the wash of a game, they got there pretty comfortably.
Yeah, it was tough because garbage time, there was not a whole lot of defense being played. You know, Minnesota scored 32 in the fourth quarter. The Warriors had their best offensive quarter with a bunch of scrubs on the court, you know, when things were basically decided. So I think it's fair. Honestly, I'll be interested to see if that moves at all. You know, we could see that number move a little bit, perhaps in favor of Minnesota as well, depending on the reports on Anthony Edwards, if there is, you know, any soreness or after effects of the ankle injury. But you know, we did touch on that a little bit on yesterday's show when we were talking about the, you know, the taking the team total on Golden State versus taking the game under is, you know, that shooting was going to come around at some point for Minnesota. And yeah, Nikhil Alexander-Walker is probably not going 4-for-6 from three again the rest of this series, but this didn't feel like some crazy everything is going right unsustainable performance for Minnesota.
No, exactly right. All right, we're going to move over to baseball. But first, of course, we're going to talk, share a quick note from you are you still using your buddy's gut instinct as your betting strategy? Come on, you deserve better. RotoWire has the real tools the pros use, rankings, projections, updates, and data that doesn't sleep. Whether you're making picks, setting your fantasy lineup, or placing bets, our award-winning insights give you the edge you need. Get started today by heading over to rotowire.com and entering ROTO15 at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. Got a couple of baseball news items to discuss, starting off with Raffy Devers and the drama that goes on with the Red Sox. With Tristan Casas out for the season, the Red Sox have a gaping hole at first base. They asked Raffy Devers to go play first base. That will allow them maybe to call up Roman Anthony as one more guy that doesn't have to learn a new position. They can call him up as the outfielder, move some pieces around, use the DH spot. But he refused outright. What's your reaction to this, Nick?
Well, he refused outright, and then the Red Sox went out and beat the Rangers 5-0 last night with Devers in the lineup as the DH. He went 2-for-3 with a home run. So at least he backed it up, I guess. You know, if you're going to refuse to help out your team by switching positions, at least you're producing in that win. But this, to me, still feels like there are wounds open from spring training, right? I don't think this is necessarily about Rafael Devers saying, I don't want to play first base. I think this goes all the way back to the Alex Bregman third base debate, right? And you know, we had that quote from Devers yesterday. He said, quote, I know I'm a ball player, but at the same time, they can't expect me to play every single position out there. In spring training, they talked to me and basically told me to put away my glove. I wasn't going to be playing another position other than DH. Right now, I don't think it would be an appropriate decision by them to ask me to play another position, end quote from Rafael Devers. I don't think they're asking him to play every single position, Jeff, but again, this is not about Rafael Devers filling in at first base so they can bring up Roman Anthony. This is Rafael Devers, you know, still stinging a little bit from what happened a couple months ago.
Yeah, and normally I'm pro player on these player versus team conflicts, but that's what the money's for. He signed a 10-year, $313.5 million contract extension with the Red Sox in January 2023. You know, he's getting paid. He's got a bad shoulder. His defensive ratings were poor. That's why they brought in a better third baseman. He's starting to come around offensively. He's actually hitting okay. He's got an 834 OPS, and when you consider how slowly he started the season, you know, he's doing all right. I wonder if this portends like a slump at the plate now that he's angry again. I wonder. I really do wonder about that one there. this striking out incrementally more at 26%. That was, but it was way high early on. So, you know, yeah. when you consider everything that, you know, started so slowly with him, he's been productive at the plate. I hate seeing this crop up now. If you have him in fantasy leagues, if you're trying to bet right. individual well, props with him, I think he might be a stay away for a couple of days.
Well, I mean, last night he responded with a homer. So I don't know. Maybe it could go either way. You know, maybe he's playing yeah. angry and that does lead to worse plate discipline. Maybe that fires him up a little bit. I mean, this, you know, I love egregious cross-board comparisons, Jeff. This is like Anthony Davis saying yes. he'll play center when it's like, well, it's kind of the only option, man. Like, you are 7'1", 275 pounds. Like, we kind of need you to play center here. I'll be interested right. to see how this develops, though, because, you know, ultimately, if the manager says to him, hey, you're playing first base today, this is what's on the lineup. Are we going to get to the point where he's just going to say, no, I would rather not be in the lineup than play first? Like, are we going to get to that point? How do you see this developing over the next few days?
He's going to channel his inner Bartleby and say, I prefer not to. I suppose. Real quickly, Hunter Green goes on the IL for the Reds, groin strain. Not a really big surprise. Mm-hmm. Noteworthy to me, though, Nick, is the Cy Young odds really haven't changed a whole lot. He's still, you know, like third on the NL Cy Young rankings right now, only behind Paul Skenes and Yoshi Yamamoto. Your reaction?
Well, I think that's a good sign as far as how much time they expect him to miss. I know the Reds have downplayed it. You know, they're saying maybe he'll miss a start or two. We'll see. You want to be cautious with how well he's been playing. But look, the numbers back it up, man. 2.36 ERA and 8 starts already this season. 61 strikeouts in 45 and 2/3. He's been great.
All right. Play it or pass it. Coming up next here on Prop Points.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. It's time again for one of our favorite segments. It's Play It or Pass It time. We got two big NBA games tonight. Really looking forward to this. Pacers and the Cavs, followed by the Denver OKC game. Nick, let's jump right into Pacers-Cavs. Before we do Play It or Pass It, let's just hit the news real quick. It does look like Cleveland's going to get at least a couple of those three injured guys back. Darius Garland definitely expected to play, according to Shams. That one, I think, is a really big deal as far as this game goes.
Yeah, so Garland is the one of the three that we have received a more definitive report on from Shams. Expected to play. That's the official word. Well, we'll see. I mean, I do expect it to be out there. I'm still skeptical as far as which version of Darius Garland are we getting when you're dealing with a toe injury. You know, I think if the Cavs were up 2-0, even if this was 1-1, maybe Darius Garland doesn't play. But there's now a big sense of urgency for Cleveland, obviously, to win this game. But it worries me. It worries me. I think, you know, Darius Garland hasn't played in basically 2 weeks. He's going to be coming in cold. You're dealing with an injury that's easy to tweak over the course of an NBA game. So I think it has to be viewed as a net positive, just having him out there, especially with how Ty Jerome has played in this series. But I don't think we can just assume that 21.6 assists per game Darius Garland is going to be back and ready for this game. As far as DeAndre Hunter and Evan Mobley go, they both went through shoot-around this morning. That's a good sign. I feel better about Evan Mobley than I do Hunter. I could see Hunter playing, but he's essentially dealing with a ligament issue in his dominant hand thumb, which really affects anything you do essentially in basketball. So he's another guy that even if he's out there, you do worry about him being a little bit compromised. So once again, Jeff, I know the Cavs are 5-point favorites on the road here. I would not be surprised if the Pacers win this game. We've been saying it, you know, all week. These teams are a lot more even than I think these numbers would reflect.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's gonna be a fun shootout here. I'm really looking forward to it. Let's jump into Play It or Pass It. Donovan Mitchell banged up a little bit in his own right at the end of the game, too. Over 3.5 made threes, plus 110. Play it or pass it.
So it's been a disastrous shooting series so far for Donovan Mitchell. He's made his bones get into the rack, into the free throw line. He only has 2 total made threes through these first 2 games. So there's a reason we're getting this at plus 110. I did some digging, Jeff, on the usage rate for Donovan Mitchell in game 2, because it felt like he was doing absolutely everything for the Cavs. He had a 50.1% usage rate in game 2. That is preposterous. If you want a point of comparison, you think of Kobe's 81-point game back in 2006. You know, you got to take a lot of shots to get to 81 points. He had only a 56% percent usage rate. So that just kind of speaks to the level at which Donovan Mitchell is carrying this team right now. When it comes to the three-pointers, though, I think it is worth noting he is a markedly worse three-point shooter on the road this season. We're talking about a 6 percentage point drop on the road versus at home. I mean, you would think in general that the shooting will have to come around at some point for a player who's as good as he is and has the track record that he does. But I don't think I could play this at 3.5. 2.5, that's probably a go for me. 3.5, it's much more of a stay away. He's had all that success attacking the rim in this series, got to the line 21 times in game two. So I think we see more of that. And look, even if Darius Garland isn't at 100%, having him out there does take a little bit more of that offensive pressure off of Donovan Mitchell. So we're going to start out with a pass here.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. That usage number is astounding, though. I mean, the Kobe one, at least you could excuse, it was a regular season game, kind of had that NBA All-Star sort of quality in terms of meaningfulness. Here is out of necessity, which is kind of crazy there. But we'll see about that. All right, next one. Your guy, our guy, Andrew Nebhard, over 18.5 points plus assists, minus 125. Play it or pass it.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, Jeff. You know, I recorded the RotoWire NBA show with our guy, Alex Barutha, earlier today. And, you know, we each write down all of our favorite props. We put our card together. We both had this one on there. And we essentially came to the same conclusion, which is we're going to keep riding this until the number rises to a point where we're uncomfortable. So Nembhard has gone over this in 6 of 7 playoff games so far. He's averaging 15.9 points, 6.1 assists per game for the playoffs. So we're talking, you know, exactly 22 points plus assists. So I still think we're getting a solid number here. He had 19 potential assists in game two. He had 12 in game one. You know, 19, that's a little unsustainable, but 12 is still really good for a secondary playmaker. He had 6 assists in the fourth quarter alone in that game two comeback. He has more potential assists for the Pacers than Haliburton does in this series. So that just tells you how much he's operating for this team in the half court. And on top of that, the advanced numbers, Jeff, say that the Pacers on average have converted those assist chances at a less than expected clip. So, you know, he should be averaging closer to 7, 7.5 assists per game if they convert those at the expected rate. You know, the scoring, he's never going to be that guy who you just, you know, go give us 20 every single night, but he's been very comfortably in that like 12 to 20 range through these first 7 playoff games. I like this one a lot at minus 125. We will play it.
All right. I'm going to throw one more on there too. Aaron Nesmith, over 2.5 threes plus 135. He's been a key to this series. They, you know, you focus on Haliburton, you focus on Nebhard, and Nesmith's always there. Feels like he's been good. He's averaging 2.1 over the season, but he's been key in this series. I've been really loving Nesmith's game, so I'm gonna ride that one too.
Yeah, I mean, he's had 3.7 makes over his last 6 playoff games. Had just one in that first game against Milwaukee, but he's been a huge piece. The only thing I worry about with him is he's such a dogged defender that he can find himself in foul trouble. We saw him limited a bit in game one against the Cavs, but I think at 2.5, that's playable.
All right, we're going to do play it or pass it for Denver OKC in just a sec. But first, smarter bets start here and last all year long with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, we're slashing the price of our annual subscription. Normally $240, now just $199. And when you sign up today, we'll throw in 2 extra months for free. That's right, 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code PRO. Get 14 months of access to our daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, exclusive splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 live video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all of our special edition betting guides. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now and use promo code PRO to lock in 14 months of VSiN Pro for just $199. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. All right, let's move on down to Nuggets versus Thunder. Big game here coming up. Game 3 tied at 1 apiece. Nick, Aaron Gordon over 17.5 points, plus 100. Play it or pass it.
So Gordon went over this number in game 1, 22 points, went well under in game 2. And obviously, you know, game script wise, just about every Nugget went under when you're down 48 points at the end of the third quarter. I will say this is closer to stay away territory for me. If anything, I would look at Aaron Gordon over 6.5 rebounds. That's been kind of a pet prop for me throughout these playoffs and certainly early in this series. You can get that at plus 114 over at DraftKings, which I think is a pretty fair price. Went way over in game 1. Did have just 5 rebounds in game 2, but obviously played only 27 minutes. And all 5 of those came on the offensive glass. You know, I do think Denver can continue to exploit that throughout the series. If you're OKC, you know, it's a point of emphasis, but much easier said than done. And you would certainly expect Aaron Gordon to be better on the defensive glass tonight. Also shot just 3 of 12 from the field. He could be a little bit up and down in that regard. So I would stay away from the points. That number's a bit too high to me. Yeah, I would like it a little bit more, like 15.5. But if I'm playing Aaron Gordon tonight, it's going to be the over on the rebounds.
All right. By the way, line in this game is OKC is favored by 5.5, -112 on that one. Mm-hmm. Total, 232. We talked about that change in the total from game two to game three. Pretty huge change there. Any reaction to the line itself?
Seems about right. Seems about right to me. Honestly, I'm surprised it's not a little bit higher, I guess. I could see this being 6.5, 7, and that wouldn't seem all that crazy. I mean, you don't want to overreact, of course, to what we saw in game two versus game one, but like there's not really a scenario to me in which Denver wins in blowout fashion, whereas you could see OKC doing that basically any game in this series. It won't be as extreme as it was in game two, but at that number, I would lean OKC.
All right. Very good. Play it or pass it. Christian Braun over 1.5 made threes +145.
Yeah, I'm trying to find some more plus money props, Jeff. You know, we're doing a lot of like -130, -125 stuff. So yeah, a little bit more value here on Brown at the +145 number. It was actually +154 earlier this morning. I like this one. I like this one. And, you know, he is just 10 of 32 in the playoffs on what NBA.com defines as either open or wide open threes. So that the shooting really hasn't been there for Brown, but he is a significantly better shooter at home this season. Shoots 43% from deep at home, almost 8 percentage points higher than on the road. He's not a crazy high volume guy by any means, usually only takes 4 or 5 per game, but if this game is remotely competitive, he's going to play 40 minutes as he has throughout these playoffs. The Nuggets, you know, not a super high volume 3-pointer team in general, but I think they need to increase that volume to keep up with the Thunder, who are so efficient generating fast break points, generating good looks in the half court. So I think the attempts will be there tonight for Christian Brown. We're taking a little bit of a chance here, but I think he can knock down a couple corner threes. So I'll play that one.
All right. We're in rapid fire zone. Give me one more that you like real quick.
Yeah, I got a few here. I'll go back to the well on SGA over 7.5 assists. You know, the potential assists continue to be there for him. There is actually a dual assist bet that I like at DraftKings. Jokic and SGA to each have at least 8 assists tonight. You can get that at +150. And look, I think we get a big bounce back game tonight from Jokic. Jokic triple double +105.
All right, that's going to wrap up Play It or Pass It. Brandon Kravitz joins us next on the Progressive Guest Line on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points. Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you on this Friday afternoon. We've got our friend Brandon Kravitz making his return to the show. He joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Brandon, welcome back. I know you got some picks. You got some props for us for this two-game NBA playoff Friday. We got Cavs, Pacers, and Thunder Nuggets coming up tonight. But first, I want to ask you a little bit about what we saw last night. Minnesota takes care of business with no Steph Curry, holds Golden State to just 93 points. Finally got the shooting to come around for Minnesota. As we touched on in the previous segment, Wolves are big favorites to win this series, as you'd expect. -320 is the price over at DraftKings. I assume you are on Minnesota to win, Brandon. Correct me if I'm wrong. How many games would you pick the Timberwolves in right now?
At this point, if Steph Curry doesn't come back, I think I would be pretty comfortable taking the Wolves in 5. I have already placed a bet on Timberwolves -1.5. I did that the second Steph Curry went down, jumped on the line last night. So that was I think that might have been my lone win of last night. So I don't want to victory lap too hard for Thursday night in the NBA, but the Timberwolves are just so much better than this version of the Golden State Warriors. They really need Steph Curry in order to keep that offense afloat. 6th best in the NBA, and if you include all the teams in the regular season, when Steph is in the lineup. Without him, they drop below teams like the Washington Wizards and the Orlando Magic in terms of the worst offenses in the NBA. And that's just not anything that you can't contend with a team as long and skilled as Minnesota if you're that bad offensively.
Ironically, they're a lot better off defensively without Steph, though, is the funny thing. Although it didn't really manifest itself last night. I think over, and that's the thing, over like the stretch of a long series, that absence can get exploited a lot more, too. Although I don't think we're going to be seeing Kuminga time constantly like we did last night either, though. It's going to be interesting to see Kerr's rotations if Curry is out for an extended period of time.
Yeah, and that exact mindset is why I was on the under last night, and I looked like I was coasting. It took the Warriors a few minutes just to score a bucket. I was feeling really good early on, and the Minnesota just never stopped scoring. So the over cashes for those that were on it. But it's amazing to me that we went through a preseason, an 82-game regular season. Steph Curry missed some time in the regular season, yet Steve Kerr still feels like he does not know what to do in terms of his rotations when Steph Curry is out of the lineup. And how have they gone this long without getting something that looks like a serviceable backup point guard? It's really mind-blowing. There's nobody to set up the offense. Jimmy Butler certainly didn't take the reins. I thought he was going to go from Robin to Batman, but he went from Robin to Robin without Steph Curry, and that's just not going to get it done.
Yeah, never a good sign when Nikhil Alexander-Walker is outscoring Jimmy Butler in a postseason game. Brandon, let's switch over to tonight's slate. We got Cavs Pacers in the early window. Backs against the wall for the Cavaliers. Before we get to your plays for tonight, I know you like a side and you got some props for us as well. What do you expect from Darius Garland? The word is that he's going to play. Obviously, he's had a long layoff. He's still dealing with this toe injury. Is there a world in which this actually ends up hurting the Cavaliers that he's out there trying to push through this injury?
I don't think so. I'm not going to go full Willis Reed here and say that him coming back early from this injury will inspire his teammates, but maybe. I mean, they kind of need that extra jolt and just to have somebody out there that can help settle things down late in games, when that seems to be when the Cleveland Cavaliers are letting go of the rope a little bit. Let's not forget game two. They had a 20-point lead on the Indiana Pacers. It looked like they were coasting to a win. They did that without Evan Mobley, without Darius Garland. Having Darius Garland out there, I'm not sure how that impacts things early in the game, but I do think it'll help in a positive way as they get deeper into this one. But this number is running away from us, guys. So, this opened at Cavs minus 1.5 and has just been continued to be bet up as the hours have gone along here. I think we're up to 5.5 at this point. So at this point, you're probably not buying Cleveland if you haven't bought them already. But if you're sitting on a minus 2.5, a minus 3, minus 3.5 even, you're feeling pretty good about your stance right now on the Cleveland Cavaliers in game 3.
Well, let's look at maybe some other bets that might have better value. I noticed in the notes that you're part of the Andrew Nebhard hive. Welcome. We love having you aboard here. Which bet on Nebhard do you like for tonight?
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about him in the last segment, and I grinned ear to ear. So let's see if I can pick this apart in a different way or just add to what you guys had already discussed. I'm on his PRA. I'll take over 22.5 points, rebounds, and assists. The old adage is that role players play better on their home floors. Well, Nembhard has been balling just about everywhere he goes, so I'm not even sure it matters what floor he's on. And I like him for the full stat sheet here because you really never know where it's coming from with him. Game one, he scored 23. Game two, he was assisting and rebounding, 13 dimes, 7 boards. He is such a key piece to what the Indiana Pacers want to do. He's gone over this number 6 of his last 7 playoff games. So there you go, back-to-back segments where we're handing out that key trend with Andrew Nembhard.
I know you have a couple more things in this game and for this series, Brandon. So you mentioned the price is on the rise in favor of the Cavs, now up to 5, and still a lot of money coming in. If you look at those VSiN betting splits right now on the Cavs, where did you get Cleveland? I know you locked in a pro Cavs bet earlier this week.
Yes, I am attacking this in a couple of different ways. I bet them on the spread at minus 3, but my bigger wagers are on Cavs money line parlayed with the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight, as well as, and this is where I think if you are late to the party with a spread, looking at a derivative of the Cavs winning this game. Clearly, there's a lot of steam and there's a lot of reasons why the Cleveland Cavaliers would win this game. This is a huge desperation spot, and they're getting reinforcements back. I like them, or I like the series rather, over 5.5 games at -165. If that price is still sitting out there and not adjusted to the line movement that we're seeing with the Cavs, who are jumping up in price in game three, if they win this one, is anybody going to be shocked that the Cavs take another game in this series? Boom, game six or game seven. If that happens, you cash that bet. To me, that's the best bet on the board if it's still at that price.
All right, we'll get Brandon's leans on Thunder Nuggets in a moment. But first, you want to know where the money is really going? Unlike other sources, our betting splits at VSiN come straight from Circa and the DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from pro bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. You can see the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month over at VSiN.com/subscribe.
Talking with RotoWire analyst Brandon Kravitz, talking NBA player props and all that. OKC, Denver. OKC is a 5.5-point favorite. The total is 232. Brandon, do you have an opinion on the side or the total before we jump into the player props?
I think if I was forced to take a side, I would be on the Oklahoma City Thunder. They established themselves or reestablished themselves as the best team in the NBA. I think them playing at their best, there's such a gap between them and everybody else in the league at this point, including the two powerhouses that have struggled in the Eastern Conference. And they showed what they're truly capable of. If they're able to keep that going into game three, the Nuggets really don't stand a chance. But I'm not going to take a side because I'm already invested in their money line. If the Cavs win, I'm going to be sitting pretty on all I need is for OKC to get a win. I'm attacking the player prop market. I like Jalen Williams over 10.5 rebounds and assists, still coming in at plus money. He's hit this in the first two games in this series, and he only played in 26 minutes in game two. I also like Russell Westbrook over 13.5 points scored. Turns out this guy's still pretty good. And perhaps Mike Malone was onto something. They rely on him for so much of their bench scoring, especially in those non-Jokic minutes. Another strong trend. He's hit this in six of his last seven playoff games. And Chet Holmgren over 1.5 made threes. I think this is more just a strategy adjustment. The further you can take Jokic away from the basket, the less rebounds he's going to get. And he finished with 20 in game one and just 8 in game two. We saw Chet Holmgren's 3-point attempts go up game over game. I don't see why they would get away from that.
All right, Brandon, we got like 30 seconds. Celtics Knicks game three tomorrow afternoon. This is going to be a dreaded streaming it on the golf course situation for me, but cannot wait to watch this game. Are the Knicks winning game three? Are the Knicks winning this series?
I'm not going to touch game three. I'm just going to take the series price. The Knicks plus 105. 86% of the time, a team in this situation wins the series. The plus 105 implies they have a 48% chance to win. There's a gap here of like a 40% edge on taking the Knicks to win the series. So plug your nose, take the Knicks at plus money.
There we have it. Brandon Kravitz taking the Knicks to win the series. You can find his work over at RotoWire. You can find him on Twitter at Brandon Kravitz. Talking baseball, Jeff Erickson's best bets for the Friday slate coming up next on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson back with you. We got about 15 more minutes taking you up to the top of the hour. Make it rain with Adam Schein coming up next. As always, that starts up at 3 p.m. Eastern. He's going to have Justin Termini on from SiriusXM NBA, giving his best bets for tonight's game threes. We will finish out, Jeff, as we often do, taking a look at the Major League Baseball slate, all 30 teams in action. No day games today, so we got nothing to update you on live, but plenty of action to come later tonight. Let's start out in the NL West. The Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. We got Arizona minus 122 on the money line. Dodgers plus 102, high total here, sitting at 10 even. Roki Sasaki going up against Eduardo Rodriguez. We did see Arizona take game one of this series last night, 5-3. Gabriel Moreno with a grand slam in the fourth off of Yoshi Yamamoto. First real kind of disaster start of the year for Yamamoto.
Yeah, it was. Made me look like quite the fool. And I kind of was pumping up Yamamoto yesterday, talking how every time he pitches, I want to find a thing to get in on there. So it goes. At least we got the under on that game at 5-3. That was close, too. It got to 8. I'm like, uh-oh. If Mookie hit that ball on the last play, and at first it looked like it might have some carry, and then, settled in for the catch to end there. Had a couple of tough beats yesterday. I had a tough beat in Reds and Braves. That was 2-2 going into the ninth. The total was 8. Goes to 4-2 and then 4-4. And of course, by then I've guaranteed a loss there. And so that was bad seeing that one happen. But, being on the right side almost the whole way through and seeing you lose that is tough. Anyways, okay, it's not about me. It's about this game. Let's talk about this game a little bit more. The Dodgers earlier in the season were vulnerable against lefties. That is not the case anymore. 346 WOBA against left-handed pitching. It's a reminder early on, these things take a while to sometimes stabilize. They're a top five offense against lefties. I don't really like Erod. I'm trying to fade Erod on these. There's so much volatility with him. He had 10 strikeouts in his last start, but 5 walks to go along with that. Only 1 strikeout the time before, though. Dodgers historically hit him very well, too, with a team 946 OPS against him. So we're going to try to fade Eduardo Rodriguez here. We're going to go with the under 4.5 Ks at plus 130. If you want to go on just the side here, I'm okay with that as well, although that means you're kind of banking on Roki Sasaki to turn it around, and I'm not quite sure I'm there yet. Mm-hmm. But total is so high at 10, though. I think that's tough to bet a total on this one.
Yeah. Phillies Guardians, another fun one tonight. We got the Phillies minus 125 on the money line, Cleveland plus 105, lower total here at 8. This, on paper, Jeff, should be a really good pitching matchup. Both these guys, Aaron Nola and Gavin Williams, two right-handers, been disappointing to varying degrees to begin the year. I mean, another very shaky start for Aaron Nola, who seems to get off to a very shaky start every single year, but as he often does, is now strung together back-to-back strong outings against the Cubs and the Diamondbacks. So what are you looking at in this game?
Yeah, and those are two really good opponents to string back-to-back strong outings against, too. So contrast that with Gavin Williams, who's was a helium guy in our drafts during draft season. Every time he got selected before me, I was a little disappointed. I thought maybe this is the year he turns it around. It hasn't been the year he's turning around. 5.06 ERA, even worse, 1.75 WHIP, and a really tough opponent against the Phillies. 6th in WOBA against righties at 3.33. Williams actually has reverse splits, so righties are hitting him even better, so that's even kind of scarier. So I'm going to try to attack Williams on this one and go with a couple of right-handed hitters. Usually you want to use the lefty hitters and play that game, and you still could, but I don't even know if that's going to be a trend that continues with the righty-lefty reverse splits, but I'm going to attack it tonight with total base bets on both Trey Turner over 1.5 total bases at plus 130, Bryson Stott, who homered yesterday, over 1.5 total bases at plus 145.
Let's take a look at the Red Sox and Royals. Boston minus 120 on the money line. KC plus 100. Total settling in at 9. This is a man named Hunter Dobbins, Jeff, going up against Michael Lorenzen. 4th major league start of Dobbins' career. Took the L against Minnesota last time out. 4 earned. Gave up a homer. 2 strikeouts and 2 walks in 5 2/3. There's a reason that you give out the baseball bets, Jeff. You are the baseball expert. I know very little about Hunter Dobbins. What do we need to know in this matchup?
Well, it's funny that he's filling in with a number of injuries here. Not a super highly touted prospect in the case of Dobbins. Makes me still want to, he's on James Anderson's prospect list, but barely at 352. And he started pretty strongly against the Twins last time out, too. Retired 9 of the first 12 batter, 9 of the first 10 batters, but you dig a little deeper and, he's kind of struggled a little bit there. He's definitely a weak link. The funny thing is the Royals, they're off to a great start. Helps that you're facing the White Sox in a couple different series so far. 23-16, also swept the Rockies as we pick on them every single time on the show. So there's your obligatory pick on the Rockies comment right there. But the Royals lead baseball for the second year in a row in like starting pitching innings. They are really good in getting depth out of their starting pitchers. Lorenzen tonight's start might be the weak link a little bit, but also the Royals bullpen is actually pretty good too. You kind of talked me into a narrative bet though, The Rafael Devers bet. You mentioned he homered last night after all this thing kind of blew up. Let's go back to the well. Over 1.5 total bases, plus 135. Kind of like that one there. We'll go with that. I think I'll take the under on the total at 9 runs, though, also. That's another thing I like in this game.
Just to get one more quick shot in at the Rockies, by the way, outscored 21-3 yesterday in that doubleheader. They are currently tracking for a 26-136 record on the season. Just something to monitor when it comes to Colorado. Rangers Tigers, Jeff, this is a fun one. Rangers on paper should be hitting the ball significantly better than they have. This is one of the lowest run output teams in baseball. Simply cannot score runs. They have scored more than 6 runs, Jeff, 3 times this season. That is the fewest of any MLB team by a mile. By comparison, the Chicago Cubs have done that 16 times already. Tonight, we get Patrick Corbin going up against Tarik Skubal. Skubal still the AL Cy Young favorite at plus 230. In Detroit, easily the biggest money line favorite on the board tonight, minus 270.
Yeah, absolutely. The Tigers, they hit lefties, which Patrick Corbin is a lefty. 5th in WOBA against lefties. Meanwhile, the Rangers don't hit lefties very well. They're 21st, I think, in WOBA against lefties. So, they strike out a ton. It's all setting up pretty well. The problem is you can't bet a 270 money line. I mean, why would you? I mean, I think I would try to find some way to pair. If you want to go that way, I think you pair it with something else. I'm going to go though with the Tigers team total there as another route here. First of all, I think Patrick Corbin is a ticking time bomb. 3.28 ERA, but a 4.81 FIP. This is exactly the type of guy that's going to have a correction. We saw this a little bit earlier with Bowden Francis. It's rare that you get an opportunity to kind of jump in on that there. So when you do, you got to take it. 15.9% K percentage there. He has been extraordinarily lucky. I think that turns around. And this is a tough spot for him. The only thing I worry about with the Tigers offense is maybe it's the first day after the Coors Field trip. Often you see that there's that first game back sort of problem there. That would be the one thing maybe holding me back. But I'm going to go that route there. Tigers team total over 4.5 at minus 110. It's all in all, I try to find some other ways to kind of, if you want to pair with the money line, that may be a way to go ahead and take that there.
All right, let's get one more game in before we give you our GBank best bets of the night. Your Cincinnati Reds going up against the Astros. Houston, big favorite here, minus 205 on the money line. Cincy plus 170. Nick Martinez going up against Hunter Brown, plus 550, by the way, if you like Hunter Brown to win the AL Cy Young Award. Anything you like in this one?
Well, Jonathan Fontobel and Money Moves was talking about Hunter Brown and backing him for first five. I can get on board with that for sure. I also think because the Reds bullpen has been so heavily taxed lately, I think you're going to see them keep in Nick Martinez as long as possible. So I kind of like it's not a great price, but I like the over 17.5 outs recorded at minus 150 for Nick Martinez as well.
Our GBank best bets of the night are brought to you by GBank. You can get the GBank Visa Signature Card today. Most credit cards, as we know, treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances. That's even when you put your own money on the card. But GBank treats gaming transactions as purchases. You're saving 3 to 5% on cash advance fees and gaming transactions right there. Also, with GBank, you're earning 1% cashback rewards on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions. Plus, you're getting 2% cashback rewards on all eligible purchases. You can apply now over at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. Best bets of the night, Jeff. Where are we going? I'll let you lead us off.
I'm going to go a game we haven't talked about yet. Tomoyuki Sugano, over 16.5 outs recorded. Going up against the Angels, like picking against that lineup there. He's gone over that total 3 of his last 4 starts. The bullpen's a little banged up. I like tacking the Angels. Minus 115 bet at 16.5 outs recorded.
All right, I like it. I'm going to Christian Brown, man. We're taking this at plus money, plus 145. Brown over 1.5 made threes tonight. Again, continues to see plenty of open and wide open looks throughout these playoffs, shooting 43% from beyond the arc at home this season. Nuggets are going to need that three-point shooting to keep up tonight against OKC. That's going to wrap it for the week here on Prop Points. Make sure you stay tuned. Make It Rain with Adam Schein coming up next. Justin Termini joining him to give his best bets in the NBA. We'll talk to you on Monday.